Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Children of Mary podcast. My name is Gabriel and this is my assistant. Assistant, what is your name?
My name's Claire.
Claire, you might notice that she's got a lot of gear behind her. She's got panels, she's got buttons, she's got sliders. She's really the brains behind this operation. If things go well, you guys got to give her a good job, Claire, because she's the one who's really doing all of the hard work. Across from me, I have a good friend. Really good friend. You're going to notice we get along very well. His name is Keenan. Keenan, let's see how good of a friend we are.
Yes.
How good of friends we are. How long have we known each other?
12 years.
Dang. Yes, it's true. I have known Keenan since he was 13 years old, still in diapers. I'm just kidding. We go way back.
So we do.
Individually and together, we are Mary's children. And first and foremost, this is her podcast. So we're going to do a short prayer. Do not click off because you hear, oh, they're going to pray. I'm out. No, if this podcast is good, it is only going to be good because it's Mary. So we have to consecrate it to her. So let us go ahead and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, this is yours. We are yours. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope for, all of our sacrifices, all of our sufferings, all of our dreams, we give them totally to you. May this podcast, may our lives, may these instruments bring souls to Jesus Christ through you. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means to the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means to the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means to the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I say that this is Mary's podcast. How will this be Mary's podcast? Well, first and foremost, we do the best we can to be Marian and to live Marian lives. We will start every podcast, whether that's on the air or not on the air, we will consecrate it to Mary. We will do the best that we can to listen to Mary before every show, a week or two before. We're going to say, Mary, what do you want? And each of us will pray at least four rosaries a day. And on the day of the podcast, we will pray one rosary together in studio. As a little crew, whoever our guest is will also be praying with us. And at least for me, I'm going to have at least three rosaries under my belt before we go live. God willing, we'll have four. That's my goal. So why a podcast for the Virgin Mary? Keenan, you say you're my friend. Do you know when my birthday is?
April 6th.
Dang!
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you just read that off of my paper. Or he's a really good friend.
No, I am.
I have no idea when your birthday is. It was recently,
That's
actually.
Tragic.
So anyways, back to the Virgin Mary. April 6th is my birthday this year, 2020, the greatest year on record,
mm-hmm.
2020.
No doubt.
My birthday fell on the Monday of Holy Week. In the ordinary form, at least, I don't know about the extraordinary form, but in the ordinary form, Monday of Holy Week, do you know what happens on Monday of Holy Week, Claire? What are the readings about?
On Sunday, so I don't know.
So the readings on the Monday of Holy Week is St. Mary Magdalene getting the expensive perfumed oil, breaking it on the feet of Jesus. The opposite of saint. I was about to say St. Jude. Judas, the opposite of a saint, mm-hmm. As far away from a saint as you can be.
Yes.
Judas said, hey, why are you wasting that precious oil on Jesus? So in my family and in some circles, we call Monday Extravagant Monday. So on Extravagant Monday, we want to see what we can waste on the Lord. What the world might say, you're wasting it. So I prayed and I said, Blessed Mother, is there anything that I should waste on your son Jesus? And I felt very clearly in my conscience that Mary said, I want a podcast. And I said, no, something else. And she said, no, I want a podcast. And I want a podcast where I have control. That's what she meant, where people either talk about me or talk about what she wants to talk about. I wasn't on board. But still, I was like, fine, I'll do it. What do you want me to do? She's like, get on. And this is all interior. Take this with a grain of salt. I could be hallucinating. I could be imagining. I don't think that I was because I was adamantly against starting a podcast. So I got online, made a list of all of the audio equipment that I would need, and it came out to about $1,800. I don't know if you know this, but I, for profession, am a youth minister, dropping $1,800 on a whim that I heard in prayer that my brain is saying, don't do it, is not something that I do lightly. And so I bought it on my birthday, Extravagant Monday. And when Extravagant Monday was over, April the 7th, I went online and I returned everything. Because I'm ye of little faith, and also because of COVID, and also because I didn't know if I'd have a job, because we didn't know what was going to happen, because it was the end of the world apparently, but we're still here. So a couple weeks ago, and I had told all my friends, I sent Keenan a text message. Remember what my text message was?
That Mary wants a podcast?
Mary wants a podcast. So a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on vacay with the family and I got an email from a gentleman named Josh. I'm not going to tell you his last name. He's probably already embarrassed that I mentioned his first name. And Josh sent me an email saying, I bought a couple of things on your Amazon list. And I said, Amazon list? Because I used to have a list where if people wanted to support me, they could at least get gear. But then I just got rid of it, or I stopped advertising it, simply because if I need gear, it's kind of like on a whim. I don't have time for people to be like, stumble upon the website. So anyways, I was like, what the heck did I get bought? And Josh bought me a Rodecaster Pro. So like that's the audio device that Claire's got to her left. And he bought me a microphone. And I'm like, oh dear, I think Mary would like a podcast. And so I thought to myself, if this is going to be good, we at least need to have another camera. I have two cameras at the time. We at least need to have another camera. So I thanked Josh. In his reply to me, he says, by the way, what kind of cameras do you use? And I said, Sony E-mount. And he responds, oh, very good. I have a Sony E-mount camera. I'll send one to you. And I'm like, it looks like the Blessed Mother wants a podcast. The day that the gear arrives, the Rodecaster arrived, the mic arrived, I had already made a list, 100 reasons why we should not have a podcast and how much more it would cost. And I looked at the number and I said, because I just dropped a lot of money on having Two Hearts Images commissioned so we can do like this home enthronement thing online. And I made a list of all of the other expenses. And I looked at Claire still holding my Rodecaster Pro. Do you remember what I said?
No. I don't know.
I said to her, Claire, I need at least $600 more dollars.
Ooh,
you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
And then what
that.
Did you say to me?
I said, you just got $600.
Exactly. And I said, oh, she's so right. But in my mind, I was like, I need $600. And I got home and I opened the mailbox and there was a check for $500 from a certain individual who mailed it to my home address. Nobody who watches any of my videos has my home address, mm-hmm. except for one person, because she had reached out to me during COVID and I thought I was dying. And I think I was really, really sick. And she wanted to mail something for my respiratory stuff. And so she happened to have my address. This lady sends me a check for $500. I check my PayPal. Somebody else drops in $100. All on the same day.
Of course.
Then I send Keenan a text the next day, because I'm still reluctant. What do I say on that text?
Mary wants a podcast?
Mary wants a podcast. So the Blessed Mother, there's so many things involved in making this show that this is Mary's show. I always say that if something's going to be successful, it first and foremost has to have the hand of God, or in this case, the Blessed Mother, whose hands are like literally on top of each other. And I think that this show has that. Even just set, there's so many things. Even just setting up the studio, we're setting up the two cameras. All I need now, like literally I'm saying to Claire, now we just need that third camera angle. And then we get a text from our receptionist at the front desk saying, oh, you got a box. And guess what was in the box? That third camera angle. So this is the Blessed Mother's podcast. We will do the best we can with her help. That's why we have Mary everywhere. Keenan's got a Mary. Mary's in front of Claire. Claire's blessed. She's got two Marys. So we're going to do the best we can. We ask that you pray for us. It is very difficult to be detached. I wanted to call this Mary's podcast, literally the title being Mary's podcast. But I just felt like she wanted the Children of Mary's podcast, a podcast where people who are Mary's children can come on and discuss and help lead other people to be better children of Mary. We're just going to do the best we can. So I said that my assistant is named Claire. So how is Claire my assistant? Again, we do not have a major technological organization going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Claire is my assistant in youth ministry. And so before I accepted this job as youth minister, I had one very important condition. I said to my pastor at the time, I said, I will take this job on condition that I can pick my own assistant and I can search far and wide from left, from East Coast to West Coast. I don't know if that's in the left or the right, but from left to right, mm-hmm. I'm going to search for the holiest person I can who's also very organized. So I found Claire. Claire's one of the holiest women that I have ever met. She prays her four rosaries every day. I'm saying these things. You could say, why don't you let Claire introduce herself? Because she's a humble woman. I just said she's very holy. She's not going to tell you how great she is. So let me expound upon these. So she prays her four rosaries a day, at least. She prays her Our Lady of Sorrows rosary. She does a daily holy hour. She receives Holy Communion every day. She's very holy. She suffers so well. She's always reading spiritual books. A job. This is not her job. This is her apostolate. And I needed somebody to be my assistant who drinks the Kool-Aid. And more importantly than anything else, the most important thing, I said, you watch Gabby After Hours?
Of course.
And she's all in on Gabby After Hours. So not only does she assist me in youth ministry, if you ever see me on camera, or you see the camera following me, you see me praying a rosary in the church, you see B-roll, Claire is the one who's doing that filming. Claire has actually been in almost every single video. So you're like, who? I've never seen this girl before. If you go back for about the past 2 years and you look at the B-roll of the videos, you will see a veiled woman. At one point,
she's a mysterious woman.
A mysterious woman is always there. Claire, tell us the various roles you played.
I don't know if you all want to know all these roles. It'll be a little hidden secret. You can go back and try to find me in all of them.
She's so humble. She doesn't even want to say. So in the one on the morality of voting, I talk about abortion and I say, go to the mercy of God.
Oh,
and
no.
So we literally put eye drops in her eyes.
That actually hurt my eyes. I burned. I probably was actually crying.
Tears. Well, hey, the best actors really are, you know, they're really
actually
in
crying.
It.
Yeah.
They're actually crying. So she had tears coming down her face. We had one scene in Keenan's testimonial video where she plays a woman of loose morals who's going towards Keenan and they embrace. So she's been in a lot of videos. So she's a holy woman. I trust her to do these things. She's fully on board. There's nobody I would rather have behind all of this gear. There's no greater support. And as far as layperson that I know has got these skills. And not only that, I know you're thinking, wow, this is an amazing woman. Gentlemen, I'm sorry to break it to you. But when there's an amazing woman, there is a giant of a man that she's holding up, and his name is Johnny. Johnny's one of the holy, and I don't say this lightly. People might think I do because I say it to two people, but Johnny is probably one, he's as far as Canadians go, because he's a Canadian, he is the holiest, most virtuous, natural Canadian that I have ever met in my entire life. Johnny, if you're listening, I'll take my, you can give me a check for $25 for that good endorsement. That'll keep the men away from Claire. Anyways, so Claire, July 26th,
yes.
It's a big day, July 26th.
Yes, it is.
Why is it a big day?
St. Anne's Feast Day.
Grandma.
Yeah.
It's like Grandma's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about Grandma?
Yeah, there's a ton of things to know about St. Anne, but one of the things that I love as I've developed this relationship with her in the past few weeks and stuff is that her family, like her parents were very holy, and then going all the way back to like Abraham and everyone else like everyone in her history has been praying for her, for the birth of the Virgin Mary, for the birth of the Messiah, and especially in the Jewish traditions and stuff, you're waiting for the Messiah, and specifically actually for St. Anne's history and her lineage and stuff, or what do you want to call that, they were actually preparing for the birth of the Virgin Mary, which is very interesting. And so as they're waiting for this, you see that her ancestors, they were the devout ones that carried the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
Very interesting connection, right?
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Incredible.
So her ancestors are the ones carrying the Ark of the Covenant.
Because Mary's the Ark of the New Covenant.
Yes.
Intense.
Yeah. And okay. So as they're coming down, there are these people called the Essenes or something.
Essenes?
Essenes, yeah. There's a lot of S's in there. And so these people, they're very devout. They're up in the mountains. They're praying right near the cave that I believe Elias was praying. And as they're praying there, they're celibate. They are just devout, just praying for our Lord. But then also some of these Essenes or something also play part in the marriage part, in that they get married and they have children. And so they're continuing the lineage that's passing down, and they're waiting for Mary to come. And as they're waiting for Mary to come, they're naming a lot of their kids Mary. Oh, it's very interesting. Yeah. So if you look in their lineage, I guess, there's a lot of Marys there.
How would we know about the life of St. Anne's? Because I look in the Bible and I'm not seeing a bunch of stuff about St. Anne. Mm. So how would we know about the life of St. Anne?
So there's a couple of things. The ones that I've seen is from Venerable Catherine Emmerich, and then also St. Mary, you know the name.
St. Venerable Mary of Agreda?
Yeah.
I like her.
Those two are the prime ones that kind of have the most information.
And so what stands out to you as being something extraordinarily interesting about St. Anne where you're like, whoa, that's intense. I never thought about that.
I would say her devoutness. I mean, you hear about her as the grandma, you hear her as maybe someone you pray to if you can't have children. But really, if you learn more about her, how devout she was and her suffering, her patient suffering that she endured throughout her life is kind of her key points. And another woman that you can admire and pray to and look forward to.
And so whenever I see iconography of St. Anne and St. Joachim, a lot of times they show them as an old couple. Were they old in conceiving Mary, or did they have Mary at a young age?
That's a good question. What is said is that Anne conceived her when she's in her 40s,
so a little bit late. It's pretty late.
It is late, yeah. And I would say probably the images of them old is because they're old when Jesus is born.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. What triggers me sometimes, and I use that word trigger lightly, but what kind of gets my goat a little bit, I guess you could say, is that people don't have a theology or they don't have an understanding of the Holy Family and what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. So if we are children of Mary, if we're one with Jesus Christ and Saint Joseph is our father and Mary is our mother, then we have grandparents and I think we have a special obligation to have a relationship with our grandmother. Like, yes, Saint Therese, great saint. I love Saint Therese. Padre Pio, my bro, I love that guy. But I have to have a special relationship with my grandmother. And we have to start seeing, especially the Holy Family, I'm united with Jesus Christ. The Virgin Mary is my mother. I really need to start treating her as a spiritual mother who can take care of me here and now. I need to start seeing St. Joseph as a real protector and a real provider. And then special relationship with St. Anne. She's the grandma. Grandmas are so sweet. They're like mothers. They're nurturing. But they're always giving you little candies. They're always spoiling you. Even when mom is like, don't be giving him any candy. And then they're like, here, come here. And they sneak you the candy. So I have I have a very strong devotion to St. Anne. Keenan, my brother, do you know how we have the relics of St. Anne?
Do not.
No?
No.
It's a very interesting story. So during the time of Charlemagne, I think this is like 8th century, they were in France and they were dedicating a new church in this small town in southern France, solemn high mass. And there's a young man there named John. He's dumb. He's deaf. He's mute. This kid is suffering, okay? During the solemn high mass, he goes in with a cane in the middle of the mass. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just a blind guy. Mm-hmm. He goes in with his cane and he starts banging. And he doesn't know. Imagine, I'd like you to imagine, you're at a solemn high mass. Some poor kid goes in there, starts banging away. Everybody's like, can you somebody get this kid out of here? And then they take him out. He finds his way back in, starts banging on the steps in this one particular spot, drag him out. After mass, Charlemagne, I guess the Holy Spirit touched his heart. This kid comes back in, starts banging again. Charlemagne says, hey, this sounds hollow. So they start breaking apart the floor. And then they notice that there's some light coming from the floor. Imagine you're there at mass. Imagine this is happening at our church. And so they start breaking it apart. And then they notice that there's a tunnel and there's a hallway and there's like a candlelight and there's a sweet smell coming out. And the second they get to the end of the tunnel, all of a sudden this blind, dumb, deaf, mute, all the issues kid yells out, starts talking clearly. It is she. It is she. She is here. And then so, of course, everybody's like, who the heck is she? Yeah. And immediately that he's healed, the sanctuary light, the little candle that they had in this little area goes out. It's completely pitch black all of a sudden. So then, of course, they're getting out their big lighter and they're lighting up the way. And they open it and they're the relics of the Virgin Mary. Not the relics of the Virgin Mary, forgive me. The relics of St. Anne.
Of St. Anne.
The relics of St. Anne. And so then if you would ask, because this is the beautiful thing about being Catholic. It's we read scripture and it doesn't end there. The story continues. We have sources. We have, you know, firsthand witnesses. We have writings that explain what happened from there. So around the year 40, the Jews were persecuting the Christians. They were they were gathering all of the famous Christians, Mary Magdalene, Martha, Lazarus. They put them all on a boat to try to get rid of them. They didn't give them a sail. They didn't give them anything. They just shoved them out to sea, hoping that they would die and never come back. They ended up in France. And so when they arrived in France and people are like, whoa, where these people come from on this little raft, and the Christians come out, they start preaching. And so Mary Magdalene, there's so much story, there's so much beautiful history and miraculous occurrences that happen. But that's how the relics of St. Anne ended up in southern France. Quick story from my personal life, because I have a great devotion to St. Anne. The first time I made a novena to St. Anne, it ended on July 26, 2015. I think I've told you this story, but I think you might have not picked. I lost the importance of it even, so I can't imagine that somebody I'm telling the story to would. So I was doing a novena to St. Anne. It was at 7 a.m. I was at the Shrine of Our Lady of the Angels in in Hansville, Alabama. That's the Shrine of Mother Angelica, the one that she built. And the priest, I remember, this is, you know, like sometimes your priest, you hear a homily and you never forget it. Sometimes doesn't happen all the time. This homily was fire. And he just kept going on and on about the real presence of the Eucharist. The Mass is a sacrifice. I'm the priest. I'm not up here to entertain you. If you came here to be entertained, you need to go home. He was like on fire. Yeah. And he's like, when I lift up that host, Jesus is present. We are sacrificing. You are at Calvary. And he was like on fire. And he was, one thing that really stood out to me during his homily, he was saying that at Mass, there's an offertory where we're offering our sacrifices. We're uniting ourselves with Jesus. Jesus is offering himself to God the Father. We offer ourselves to God. We offer ourselves to Jesus. During the offertory, all of our intentions, because so many people who go to Mass, they go because they're burdened. They go because they're weary, and just put it all on the paten. Offer it to God with the bread of sacrifice, and then just put your heart. Offer everything at the consecration. So during the consecration, so everybody was like, the homily was so fire, it was penetrating everybody's hearts. Father John Paul, if you're listening, great homily, 2015. I remember it clearly. And he leans over, says the words of consecration. He lifts up the Eucharist. And the second that he lifts up the Eucharist, it was like an explosion of energy left the Eucharist. What do I mean? So the lighting, they have a bunch of panels. So it started with the panel directly behind the Eucharist. Power goes out there. Then boom, 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 boom. And it just goes throughout the entire church until the entire church is like dark. And all you see is the light coming in from the Holy Spirit stained glass window. And for me, my heart melted. I was like, I am in the presence of a miracle. Mm-hmm. And people will say, that was just a coincidence. That was a coincidence. It happened. No, but you don't understand. I'm in the presence of a miracle because bread just became God. And my heart was a part of that. And all of our hearts were united to that. And it was so powerful that the entire church like freaking exploded with energy. Yeah. And so for me, ever since that day on the feast, and I attribute it to St. Anne. I think that St. Anne was, this is just my own belief, St. Anne was interceding for us because the people were there were so faithful. We're all making this St. Anne novena, interceding for us so that we can have a great understanding of the power of her grandson, Jesus Christ, in the Mass. So ever since then, every Mass, I'm always offering the consecration for a particular intention because we're offering God the Father the sacrifice of his Son. Right now is the time to tie together your heart and for all of your intentions. So that's pretty miraculous. Now I have a question for you. You know who else's feast it is?
No.
St. Joachim, bro.
Oh, yeah. Who is that?
Who's St. Joachim? Where's St. Joachim? Claire, why do you think that we don't know? Like, I'm guilty of this. I'm like, July 26th, St. Anne. St. Joachim's like, nobody's recognizing me. Why do you think that is? You have any idea?
I don't know if, yeah, a lot of people don't really know maybe about St. Joachim and stuff, but it's because St. Anne was the one whose, the Virgin Mary was in her womb.
True.
In the same way that we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph is kind of on the side.
True.
Just because, yeah, they're the ones who held them in their womb.
And it made me think sometimes, you know how people are like, I've got a mother wound. I have a trouble with getting close to Mary because my mom was, you know, I've got the father wound. Like I have the father wound. I get along so well with Mary partially because my mom was the only influence in my life. I think there might also be something, you know, the grandfather Like in my experience, going to people's houses, you see the grandfather, he's like on the couch watching football, and grandma's the one bringing you the Italian treats, you know? So grandma's like, oh, my baby. And grandfather's like, ah, shut up. I'm trying to listen to the news now. Or whatever, you know, origin your grandfather comes from. But I think that might have something to do with it. But I'm positive that of all the grandfathers, St. Joachim was probably a good grandfather. So if anybody who's listening, watching, if you know anything about St. Joachim, please, in the comments, enlighten us. Please let us know. Now, speaking of virtuous, holy men, speaking of good fellas, ladies, just kidding.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. Keenan, my brother.
Yes.
I used to be Keenan's math teacher.
Quote unquote math teacher.
What do you mean by that?
Because you were the math teacher, but all you taught was theology and religion the whole time.
Faith and reason, brother.
Exactly.
So, Keenan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Keenan is not humble. I can allow him to describe his life.
Describe my life?
Well, just tell us your story.
Yes. So, my testimony to the rosary. I grew up in a cradle Catholic.
Yes.
Grew up Catholic. Was fortunate enough to go to a Catholic school.
One of the best Catholic schools in the diocese.
Yes.
And objectively speaking.
Absolutely.
Yes. I would say so too.
Yes,
until now. Anyways, but go ahead.
It was huge in setting that foundation for my faith, right?
Right.
But as I went to high school, got gobbled up by the world, so to speak. Definitely grew far away from my faith. You know, I'd still go to mass with the family on Sundays and stuff like that. But, mortal sin, never going to confession, that all started in high school. All the things the world was telling me to do, I started doing all that in high school.
So you're breaking some serious commandments.
Yes.
Yeah. Breaking some numbers.
Breaking some numbers every single day.
Yeah.
Committing moral sins every single day, not really caring too much about
drugs.
Yeah. By the end of high school, by junior, senior year, there was things going on at the house with my family that were very difficult. My father got cancer, I think, beginning of my senior year.
Yeah.
And soon after, a little bit after that, my parents got divorced. So it was these back-to-back things. So I never wanted to be home.
Yeah.
So yes, I started to smoke weed. I started to party every single weekend, pretty much senior year. So I was drinking a lot.
Did you have a guilty conscience during all of this?
Like, yeah.
So you knew something was not right.
Yes, definitely not right. Definitely wrong. Even though I justified it because it was all, it was fun. It was also this distraction. I don't think it, in retrospect, I noticed it was what I was filling that void with was the partying and the drugs and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I knew deep down that this was all wrong.
Do you think your peers who were doing those same things with you, did they have, like looking back, were they in your same situation or they didn't know better?
They didn't know, I didn't have that many. I mean, I did because I did go to Catholic school. By the time I went to high school, I was still friends with most of them. Mm. But none of us were really faithful.
Right.
And then at public school, I didn't have too many Catholic friends. So no, there was no, understanding of what exactly.
Nobody
we were
was
doing.
Reaching out to you. Nobody was saying, hey.
Not in high school because, and I don't blame them for this. This is just how it was. My family, we were all kind of spiritually dry. By the end of high school, like I said, I'm partying a lot every single weekend, getting very drunk. Then I go to college and none of that gets better, of course, because freshman year I joined a fraternity. Yes.
Is it as bad as people say?
Yeah, it's definitely very bad. Yeah, spiritually.
Yeah,
I made a great group of friends.
Right.
And I'm still friends with today, a lot of them. But spiritually, no, horrible because the things that are advocated, it's just, everything the world is.
Sex, going drugs, out, rock and roll
sex,
kind of thing.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Yeah. On 10. So obviously
now,
not going
now
to
it's
mass.
Probably not just weekends. Like is every day a weekend?
Yeah. I went to, and this is not to besmirch the university I went to,
sure.
But, I went to Texas State and it's. Yes, every day you can go out and do whatever you want. And, there's parties every weeknight. So, yeah, it definitely got worse. And the drug use got worse. And I was using harder drugs, right, like cocaine and things like that. That was happening, kind of frequently. And then so all through college. I think I went to mass on campus 4 times in like 4 years.
And why?
I don't, I think the guilt kind of just festers for so long.
Just so you can make sure that you have some card to check off.
Yeah. And then, this is bad. I would go there probably those 4 times. It wasn't maybe even mass. It was the the Ash Wednesday service.
Oh, okay.
So that I could leave.
Ash Wednesday. That's when they all come. It's great.
So that I could leave with the ashes on my forehead and people, right. You know, kind of this like pseudo Catholic, you know, that I was walking around with the ashes. So college was bad, very, very bad. And, you know, but then I graduate and again, I didn't have anyone. And I'm not, you know, there was nobody telling me, hey, you really need to get back on track. This is not the life God is calling you to live.
Right.
So obviously those things just continue to get worse. But then I think about a year into post-grad, year and a half, my little brother, Adrian, who had started already taking his faith more seriously.
Adrian is his little brother, and I was his religion teacher for 2 years and his math teacher for 1 year. So basically religion, 3 years.
Yes, which played a very, very integral role into this entire story, really, because Adrian knew more so than I did that this life, because he also fell into the same things I did, right. And it was my fault, right?
We'll have him on. He can
you know, attest to all
spread his own dirty laundry.
Yeah, but he did, you know, because he followed me, and I was his older brother, and we were very, very, very close. So
best friends,
absolutely. So, but he had started to get back to the faith earlier than I did.
Right.
And, you know, about a year or two after I graduated, he was telling me, he was the one that finally was telling me, hey, you need to stop doing all this. Like, these are mortal sins. We know as Catholics what happens if we die a mortal sin.
Right.
Are you willing to do that, right?
And that takes a lot of courage to talk to your older brother who you look up to.
Absolutely.
To be like, hey, come over here.
Because he would always do, and when we were growing up, now it kind of flipped, but he would always do what I did.
Right.
So for him to come to me and say, "Hey, you're blowing it. This is not it." And so he would, you know, I was still for
but
the first
in his as a little point, because I know he was not going shooting empty bullets. He was a Marian all the way. He had four rosaries under his belt.
Absolutely.
So people are like, I just want people to know that if you're listening to this and you're like, well, my brother uses drugs. Yeah, but there's a spiritual dimension here. And Adrian was going with guns blazing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was praying
the four rosaries already.
He had the firepower with him.
Exactly. Yeah. So how my kind of conversion back to the faith started was, when I was still living at home at this point after college, like a year and a half later, was praying the rosary.
Right.
Every now and then he would ask me, you know, he'd be like, hey, you want to pray? I'm about to pray a rosary. Do you want to pray with me? And I'm like, you know, he'd guilt trip me into it. But honestly, do you have anything better to do? No. So I would. And so through that, I learned how to pray the rosary, the way to meditate on the mysteries. And so we would do that every once in a while. And then I finally moved out.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
So were there times that you would ever tell him no?
That's a good question. I don't think I ever like got, you know, said, no, I'm not doing that. But there was times where I'd give him flack and be like, no, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do this, but I would eventually.
So if there's somebody out there who has a sibling in the same situation, you would encourage them to ask?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At least ask. Always ask. Because eventually that, like, even if they keep saying no and, you know, they do say no and they don't pray it with you, eventually you're going to.
Because what if you said no one time and then later regretted it? Like,
exactly.
And then they never ask again.
Exactly.
So
you have to keep asking.
Okay.
Yeah, you can never give up on that. Yeah.
Right.
Because Mary's working through that,
yes.
Right? So that's how it kind of started. And so I would, you know, I'd pray the rosary, and then I moved to my own apartment, and I would pray the rosary every now and again. But by, I think this was what, 20, end of 2018, I was, you know, it was kind of all the sinful life I was leading, and I hadn't really come back to the church yet, and all this was really coming to a head.
Yeah.
And I was just very, very, very unhappy with, you know, with everything in my life. And it was, you know, it was my fault.
And you,
right?
And you're a cool guy.
Yeah, I would say
you have it all. Like if some people are like, man, I would, like when I first met Keenan, when I first met Keenan after he's coming back and Adrian's like, hey, let's go get lunch at, where do we go eat lunch? That hibachi, no, that Kubla place we're eating.
But that was after I had.
Right. But the first, I said it several times during lunch. I was like, this is a cool guy right here.
Yeah,
I'm not talking to, you know, the nerd who sits in the corner. I'm talking to a cool guy.
Right,
cool
guy.
No offense to nerds.
Okay. Yeah.
You're a cool guy.
Thank you, Gabe. Appreciate
so
it.
So you're a cool guy. So because sometimes people wish I was cool. I wish I, you know, went to parties and this and that. But you're not going to be happy.
No, never.
Yeah. And you're depressed.
That's
you had
a lie
anxiety.
The world tells you, yes.
Okay.
So yes. Yeah. Depressed. Absolutely. Anxiety. Super stress. Like super, super stress with work.
Looking back, do you feel like the devil was whispering
absolutely.
In your ear?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, because it was almost bordering on despair. Certain parts, right?
Yeah.
So, but there was one kind of catalyst. I think the catalyst was the rosary. I was also wearing the scapular at that point. My brother got me to wear the scapular, which I think was Mary's putting her foot in the door to keep it open.
It's the easiest thing to convince somebody to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that, but then the rosary. And then I had gone, there was one weekend about like, it was like December, I remember. I had gone to confession.
Yeah.
And I had done some bad, you know, I had gone out that night before, got really, really drunk, used drugs, all this stuff. And I wanted, but I had started to go to Mass. This is a point where I had started coming to Mass here with my brother. He had got me to go with him. And I wanted to receive the Eucharist, right? So I wanted to go to confession and went to confession and confessed those sins. And then that was a Friday. So that was like a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I went out that night, as I always had. And
I shake my head, but that's not just you. That's everybody in the struggle.
So many, yeah.
Until something happens and then your life changes. Yes. We'll talk about what that is in a minute.
Exactly. So I go out that next night. Yeah, Saturday night, do almost the exact same thing. Yeah. The exact same thing. Got just as drunk. Used the same drugs. Everything. Wake up the next morning. Still want to receive communion because now it's Sunday.
Right.
So I still want to receive communion. They had confession before Mass. Go to confession. Confess those sins. But I get the same priest.
Yeesh.
So I'm sitting – before I even go in, I'm sitting in line and I realize this is the same priest. And yikes. I'm like, man, this is going to be tough.
Humility.
Humility, but also a small realization there of the God's mercy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like God's mercy. Like I'm coming back with the exact same sins. Can he really – am I really going to be forgiven for these? Because I was sorry, right? There was that. So go in and I confess those sins and I think he knows it's me again.
Right.
And he says something to me that was very, very powerful. He says, you need supernatural assistance.
Yes.
You cannot do this on your own. And it was the way in which he said it to me that really, really struck me. And we all, like I've said, you know, said before, we all know that. We all know we need God.
Right.
But I don't think we know how much we need him. Right.
Right.
So that really, really stuck with me. And, you know, that was December, January, I had gotten a new job with a new company. And I told myself I'm going to start praying one rosary on the way to work every day. Just because
that's a good habit.
Great habit.
Turn off the radio.
Nothing better you can do in the car than pray a rosary. So I prayed. I told myself one on the way to work. I'll do that every day because it was a clean slate. I felt like I had a clean slate. I was starting a new job. I just wanted this to go as well as possible. So I started doing that. And, you know, that I started to see I was, you know, becoming more faithful. And my brother was coming over to my apartment all the time. And throughout that beginning of that year, he was kind of catechizing me because he was here at Faith Formation with the high school kids.
Right.
And he was learning a lot. And so he would come over at night and we would talk about it. And I would find out so much stuff I never knew before about the faith, like the Bread of Life discourse in the Bible. That's where we see the Eucharist being spoken
of. Opens your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, pray with
that. Huge deal. Stuff like that. And then work was going well, but I hadn't had any – I'm in sales and I hadn't had any huge breakthroughs. But there was just one point, 1 week where I just had multiple huge kind of providential things happen to me at work. Made huge sales when the sales executives from the London office where a multinational company came and – were there, and it was just all these really, really big things. I never had so much success in my life and in my work,
right?
And it was just obviously providential by how it was happening.
Yeah. No coincidences.
Coincidences whatsoever. And that was a real big turning moment for me. I was like, I finally realized like God's providence in my life.
Right.
And I was like, okay,
He's looking after every aspect.
Every single aspect. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I have to start taking this more seriously. This is a big deal for me. So I think I got up to make two or three rosaries a day. Mm-hmm. I was getting up to that because Adrian was constantly pushing me, so to speak.
Incremental steps.
And he was doing, and that's the way in which he did it for me. So I was starting to pray more rosaries. And then in about May of that year, I had a situation where I was talking to this girl and we were going out. And then, you know, it led to other things. You know, we started hooking up. And so I remember when all that had started, I, 1 week at work, it was after those things had happened, I had gone back to work, you know, for that week. And I just remember having these incessant thoughts of doing those things with her. And they wouldn't go away.
Constant.
And it was constant. And it was like, yes, guys daydream and that's you know, that happens.
It comes in and out and it's gone. And you can put it away.
And it's gone. You go on with your day or whatever. But this was every 5 seconds. And I'm at my computer and I can't focus at all.
Can't get anything done.
No.
You feel like somebody's invading your brain almost.
Exactly right. And I was like, what is going on? I never had this happen before in my life. And so, you know, that went on the whole week. And I remember that next weekend I was driving. We were going to go watch. I was going to meet friends at a bar to watch the Rockets play because they're playing the Warriors in the playoffs. And I called my brother and I was like, hey, I'm going through this because, you know, I relied on him for, you know, guidance in this. And so I called him and talked to him about what was happening and how all these thoughts were not going away. And he's like, you know, maybe. Well, he said, you know, this is going to happen. These, you know, the devil will come for you and stuff like that. Yeah, because he does.
If you've started the rosary,
exactly.
you're putting an arm up and then you put that arm down. Boy, he's going to punch you when he gets a chance.
He was, you know, I think he was realizing he's losing his grip.
Yes.
Because I was one of his best and brightest for so long.
And it's an insult to lose it to some guy who's praying to a young girl.
Yeah, exactly.
A young
right.
virgin.
Exactly right. So I was telling him this and he's like, yeah, this is going to happen, but you just keep praying your rosary, you know, and I was like, okay. And then I kind of asked a silly question. I was like, I said, I was going to watch the Rockets and I asked him, I was like, you know, is it bad to pray for your sports team to win? And he's like, I mean, no, it's not necessarily bad, but there's better things you can pray for, obviously. And he's like, but what you can do is you can make a deal with Mary. And I'm like, okay, what's this going to be? And he says, you can pray, tell Mary you'll pray the four rosaries, which he had been telling me about for a long time. But I was just like, that's so extreme. I don't have time for that.
It's our sales pitch.
He's like, you can pray the four rosaries for 7 days and just in hoping that she will help the Rockets beat the Warriors. Well, I was like, okay, fine. So I agreed to do that.
Hey, she helped us at Lepanto. Why not the Warriors?
Yes, equal in how important those two events were. Yeah, so I was like, fine, I'll do that. I told myself I was going to start that next day, that Sunday. That was a Saturday. So I go to the, you know, meet my friends. We watch the Rockets get destroyed by the Warriors, as was happened every single year. And
sometimes God says no.
Yes, he does. He said it loud and clear that night. But I still told myself, I was like, okay, I'm going to still do this anyway.
Good.
So I did. So I did, started that Sunday praying the four rosaries. And, you know, right after that, those what I ended up finding out were diabolical obsessions. Yes. Is the devil actually trying to, and you know, get me to think about that all the time, stopped.
Yes.
And I haven't stopped praying the four rosaries since then. That was May 10th of 2019.
Boy,
haven't stopped
it's
since.
It's been like this ever
it's
since.
It's been like that
ever
since.
Straight to rocket. To rocket.
In all ways. In all every
I
facet
heard
of my life.
A quote recently that was attributed to St. John Vianney. He said, flies cannot land in boiling water. Because some people will say, well, I prayed one rosary in the morning and I fell. Yeah, the water was hot and then it cooled down by the end of the day.
Exactly.
So one of the things that the rosary helps you to do if you're praying all the mysteries is you're hitting them in the morning, you're hitting them at noon, you're hitting them before dinner, you're hitting them before bed. So it's like you're keeping the fire burning. You're throwing constant logs, baby.
This constant refresher from the word, you know, you pray that morning rosary. And I was talking with a good friend of mine, he's a seminary, and he was saying, you know, praying that first rosary, which is going to be the joyful mysteries, you are aligning yourself with Mary being totally submissive to God's will. So if you're starting your day that way, right? And then you go into the world and you deal with what the world is and all that stuff. And then you go to your next rosary and you're constantly getting this kind of like wash off.
Yes.
And recentering your life around Christ, right? So that's why it's so great. And I think another thing is, which most people don't realize or know, frankly, is that, you know, praying the five decades, praying that one rosary is not a full rosary as Mary intended, right?
Right.
She had always intended when she came to St. Dominic and gave this to him was to pray all the mysteries every day. That is what she gave her promises for and how she'll help us with
153 Hail Marys. It aligns with when the guys threw the net into the sea and they pulled it out and they had 153 fish.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the Psalms, right? Yeah. So the Psalter. So yeah, so that is, I think that's a big thing. It's kind of almost a tragedy that is kind of the common conception today that a rosary is five decades.
It's a lie of the devil. He doesn't want us with the full power.
No.
But what stands out to me in your case is that the rosary, like, and you say this, it's a key that opens all the doors.
Yes.
And so,
well, I say it because you.
Well, we say it because we heard it from somebody else, I'm sure.
We have no idea.
It's the Holy Spirit's idea. So not only is it battling back your diabolical obsession, your diabolical inspiration, the little temptations you get that sneak up on you and not paying attention, but the reason why you've rocketed, and I'm going to ask you about a couple of things about this, is because not only is Mary's charism to crush the head of the serpent in people's lives, but she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So you're not just, I'm no longer in mortal sin every day. Now you're pulling other people out, just like your brother pulled you out. Tell us about some of the things and how, you know, the Blessed Mother's worked in your life to help bring other people to Jesus. And
that's probably, like you just said, there is that with sin, her crushing the head of the serpent,
right?
Which is just incredibly powerful. especially in, because just speaking from my experience as a man,
right,
and dealing with all those temptations that are constantly knocking on your door, right, every single day, every
the
hour of the day.
The world is rampant. Yes. Devil's the prince of this world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so she is the greatest for that.
Yeah.
She helps you overcome those things to where you can focus on hearing God's voice and doing his will, yes, right? She's like, the devil is, comes at you with so many different distractions, whether that's temptation or things like anxiety, fear, those lack of confidence, those different things, right? He's trying; those are all like distractions.
Yes.
And Mary helps you block all of that out. Like that's right. I like to say, she orders your mind.
Yes.
So that you can really focus on doing God's will.
Especially because some young men will come to me and they'll say, I'm addicted to pornography and this and that. Yeah. Well, you've got to purify your mind. If you spent hours looking at sinful things, mm-hmm, you need to look at the one who removes sin on the cross. And
exactly.
That's meditation and life of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So that's a huge thing. And so with that, her really taking all those distractions out, she's like noise-canceling headphones.
Yes.
Yeah. Taking all those distractions out, the greatest thing that's come with it is that zeal and fervor to spread the devotion of the rosary,
yes,
to others, because you just want the same for them.
Yeah.
Because she's given me so much, like I love to say, she's given me so much peace. Peace unachievable by really any worldly means, right? Nothing, yes, worldly will ever satisfy that. And so I, you know, since I've started praying the full rosary every single day, you came to me, and that was about September of that year. You came to me and asked me if I wanted to join core team.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, absolutely not. There's, yeah, no way.
No, you're wrong.
There's no way I want to spend 4 hours, 5 hours every Sunday, you know, doing that. But then I thought about it, and I had actually, prior to you coming to me asking me for that, I had been praying, you know, to get opportunities to lead,
yeah,
and also to serve here at this church.
Yeah.
And when you came to me and I told you no at first, I thought about it the next day and I was like, wait, those are both things in one.
Don't worry, bro. I always tell people no all the time. Exactly. Looking at Claire because she's like, she has an idea. No. Virgin Mary has an idea. No. But right, then you all know you can convince me.
Right. Exactly. So when I thought about it, I was like, wait, that's both things. That's two in one. So you know, decided to do that. And it was incredibly great for me and for my faith. And growing my faith. So that was one thing. You know, I had a small group of high school kids.
And the kids in your group?
Yeah.
Great.
They're not just really...
I feel God. No, they're going to Mass.
Yes.
They're going to confession.
By the end of...
They're going to confession weekly. They're kneeling for communion.
They kneel for Holy communion Spirit. And receive on the tongue. By the end of that whole, you know, by the end of the year, one of the kids was doing that. And that was just incredible. So, yeah, that was one thing. And
more
then,
than one, but one, yes, remarkable that, yes, we're like, whoa,
yeah, what
God's got a plan. Yeah,
exactly right. So that was, you know, the core team, that was incredible, and I loved doing that. And then a little bit after that, I had thought, my brother, before he had left and enrolled in seminary,
yeah,
he had started a Bible study with friends of his from high school. And
these are seculars for the most part?
Yeah.
That's what I admire about you guys, is that y'all, you know, you're still in it. You're still bringing these people. You're not just like, I've got new friends now.
And you know, yeah, but you know what was really integral in that is at the very beginning of Adrian really trying to get me back, yeah, to the faith, he posed really the reality of eternity to me.
Yeah.
That's something everybody has to
so
face,
talk
especially
about
those.
What, hell? Death?
Yeah. going to hell.
Important things.
And quite important things, you might say. So, and one metaphor he told me was that he explained it to me, eternity to me, like this, which, mm-hmm, really stuck with me since then.
Sure.
Was that imagine an ant has been tasked with taking a single grain of sand, mm-hmm, from the West Coast and carrying it all the way to the East Coast and going back and doing that in one grain of sand at a time until there is no sand left on the West Coast, until all the sand would take a substantial amount of time to get there.
We're going to be here a long time, ladies and gentlemen.
A long time. So, yeah. Imagine he does that. When he finishes doing that, whenever that is,
yeah,
eternity will not have begun, because eternity is irrespective of time.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me that. I'm like, geez.
And there's going to be fire and suffering and torture this entire time?
Horrible, horrible things. So I think it kind of starts with that. And so that's why
justice.
We have, yeah, this zeal for bringing those. And those, you know, so I started, where the story was going, I started a Bible study with my friends from high school, a lot in Catholics. And
some of them were my former students who I didn't,
yes,
reach, partly because they were only my math students. So I go to this Bible study and I'm like, I know you.
Yeah.
I know you.
Exactly.
And I left and I was like, man, Keenan, doing the good thing, doing,
right,
good work here.
And it just comes, and you know, that zeal is to share her and spread her rosary, but with the ultimate goal of saving souls.
And what I like a lot about your testimony is that it's from experience. Like, we cannot talk about things that we do not do or do not experience. And I think that so few people talk about the power of the rosary because they themselves are not praying it. So it's like we need lay people to pray the rosary. We need fathers to pray the rosary. We need priests to pray the rosary. We need nuns. We need everybody praying the rosary. And it's going to spread like a fire. Yes. Sometimes Keenan and I will go to breakfast and we'll talk about various things or various people he's bringing in. And it's like, hey, 4 rosaries, their life will be changed.
That is, and it sounds like hyperbole and it sounds absurd.
Yes.
But until you do it, then you see it'll change your life in every conceivable way. Absolutely.
And sometimes, no offense to tradies, I like to call myself a Catholic. I don't like to be like, I'm a traditional, I'm a liberal. I am a Catholic. And
absolutely.
Anyways,
yeah.
So sometimes people will be like against the luminous mysteries. Mm-hmm. And I can see their argument. They'll say, well, Mary gave us these.
Yes.
And very good. Those were bad times. And that has the entire life of Christ. And it's 153, just like the Psalms, just like the ones in the New Testament. But we are living in horrible times. Horrible.
Especially right now.
Horrible times. Yes. And now the luminous mysteries are extra. Yeah, they're harder, but the times are harder. And we're meditating upon the life of Jesus Christ. We're meditating upon the importance of baptism, the importance of holy matrimony, the importance of preaching and teaching,
his ministry,
the importance of the Eucharist, the importance of the priesthood.
Yeah.
We need these things. And I, in my own life, have experienced so much liberation, so much freedom. One of our friends who's a seminarian, he says that it's like, once you've prayed your rosaries, you really feel like you can just go and you're like, you're wielding a sword and you think you're like high and mighty, but really Mary's the one like doing
all
of the work.
It's all her.
You're just the little kid pretending.
Exactly.
Like, it's kind of like when my kid, sometimes we play Nintendo Switch and Louie, she's only, I don't know, 3 years old. And she's like, I want to play. And then she's holding the controller and she's pretending to be me and I'm killing it because I'm good at everything. And she's like, Daddy, I did it. And I'm like, yeah, baby, you did it. And that's kind of how it is with Mary. She's
exactly
like,
right.
Like, Mary, I did it. I reached this guy. And she's like, yeah, baby, you did it.
Yeah,
good job.
Exactly. It wasn't you.
But we have to give Mary permission.
Yes,
any closing thoughts, any closing words concerning the Holy Rosary?
Just not to... You know, I talked about it before, but one thing I think that especially people that are called to provide.
Yes.
The rosary is huge. Mary is huge for that.
Yeah.
This is not prosperity gospel or whatever. Right.
You're a child of Mary. She takes care of you.
Child of Mary, so she takes care of you. And you fully give that devotion. You pray the 4 rosaries. And one thing, important caveat, is to always strive to be in a state of grace.
Yes.
If you're not going to Mary gets you there, right?
Yes.
Mary will get you to go to confession.
Mama makes sure if you're covered in feces that you're going to get cleaned up.
Yes. Because like you said, and you've said, or the Holy Spirit has said,
right,
she opens all the doors.
Yeah.
So by this devotion, you will want to go to adoration. Which is not easy to just
right.
go in adoration and kneel for an hour. It's hard. It's
purifying.
But it's
yeah.
purifying.
Yeah.
You're going to want to go to Mass. You're going to want to go to confession. So being in a state of grace is crucial because the grace received is
And
is
how
very
do you
important.
Get in a state of grace? What does that mean for people who don't know?
Go, you know, when you commit mortal sin, you're no
grave
longer in a state
sin,
of grace.
Grave sin, unknowingly, willingly. We'll have a whole show on that,
yes.
I'm sure.
Separate yourself from God, right?
Yeah.
It's a conscious decision to do so. So in order to be back in a state of grace, we have to go to confession and
right.
confess our sins to a priest. And then we're absolved of those sins.
Yeah.
By Jesus Christ, right?
I would bet that if you were to go to the typical confessional line mm-hmm. and the people who are in it ask them, do you pray to Mary?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that probably the majority of them do.
Mm-hmm.
I've just noticed that Mary helps to get you to confession.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's her grace. It's her calling.
Yes. And then in return, by being in a state of grace, the graces received from the rosary are full, right? So that's, yeah. And so, but in your work, if you give that full devotion, you will see.
Yes.
Success, and it's all for the glory of God.
Everything you do, you will do better.
Yeah,
so, and that means, let's say you prayed a rosary before a basketball game, you do horribly. Guess what? You did it way better than if you didn't pray.
Exactly right.
You'd be scoring baskets for the other team. Seriously, because grace builds upon nature. So if you're naturally very good at something, you'll be killing it with the assistance of the Virgin Mary.
Absolutely.
And we have so many mental problems. Now, so again, this is a Children of Mary podcast, so we're going to be talking about the Virgin Mary a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for us. We'll be praying for you. If you would like to see this podcast, go to YouTube and search True Faith Talks. That's where we'll be uploading these podcasts. This first podcast will be at my Gabby After Hours channel simply because I have more subscribers and we got to spread the word. We'll also give you information where you can listen to it. Now, let us conclude with the Angelic Psalter, the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you soon.